Right, here we are. Now we're getting into the real meat of the program. And as we like to do, we like to start at the beginning and work our way through the chain. And ultimately, I'm so honored to have you two up here with me, because in our prep for this, you're both so smart and you're both so on it in your individual companies. So first, let's just take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us just what you do at Warner and at Netflix.
Sure. My name is Angel Stone. I am Director of Production IT at Warner Brothers. My team handles all of the back-end technologies that go into the making of a major motion picture. So networks, servers, that includes also content workflows. So getting content from set down through marketing and distribution. And we work with VR, AR, and digital networks.
Awesome. Amy?
Amy Tornin-Costa. Amy Tornin-Costa. I work at Netflix under Studio Technology Team. Our responsibility is to make sure that as we grow our content and the massive amount of content that I'm sure you guys are enjoying, we make sure we can scale properly. So we really infuse modernization into studio and production operations, and we approach it with building a lot of software solutions, a combination of hardware and software solutions. So kind of a broad scope. One thing that's very unique to our team is that we report up into physical production. So we truly believe, Netflix believes, that technology is really a part of production operations and not just a bolt-on. So very unique approach that we've found a lot of success in.
And amen, and hopefully we're preaching to the choir. But there's all kinds of things that we're going to learn. There's data philosophy around this, but there's also practical technology around it. I think let's start on the shiny, dangly, fun stuff first, because I can only imagine in your roles that you've seen, and again, it's not as if you're new to either either position, right? I'm sure you've seen things come and go, but I think we're getting to the point where the systems that are being brought to us seem probably a little bit more baked and a little more integrated, and I would just love to know, what are some exciting technologies that you've seen come across, and not necessarily the vaporware, pie-in-the-sky stuff, but what are some practical implementations of technologies at both of your companies that you can talk about?
Excited.
First.
Yeah, so the way our team operates is really having two lanes of delivery, and one of them is like the foundational fundamental products that we need to provide our productions to continue to operate. But we make sure to also have a lane of delivery for experiments. We see that we need to keep operations going. We're building this content. The pipeline needs to exist. However, we're not going to make these 10x improvements unless we try to experiment. So some of our more exciting projects, in my opinion, are those experiments where we're truly introducing an application, a software, a technology that is very new. And of course, takes a lot of hand-holding, a lot of work on really selling, getting that trust, and ensuring that the productions are properly using it and getting that feedback and evolving the product. So we really approach things from those two perspectives. We have to keep the lights on. We have to keep operations going. However, we don't want to just take existing workflows and digitize it and move it to the cloud. We want to make sure that we truly are innovating at the same time as keeping operations rolling. So I could speak to a lot of products in that space.
Sure. We will when we get through the
conversations. Yeah, for sure. So our team is responsible for not only like the studio space and what studio wants to view, but we really see that if we look at what data, structured metadata that we want to consolidate for a studio view, we see gaining that data by crowdsourcing to our production crew. So our team really builds products in the studio space, but we really see these products in production-facing space to be those crowdsource opportunities for all of our tens of thousands of production crew that are working on our content at one point in time to be able to feed our master studio systems. One of our experimental apps that we recently have been piloting is our first mobile facing app. And to me, I could speak to the details of all these products that we're doing, but really, the really interesting part about this is introducing technology that we're tapping into smartphones. Everyone today has a smartphone, right? Everyone on set has a smartphone. And how can we use that to actually take advantage of existing infrastructure to get data in real time to studio and benefit the production and make sure that there's benefit to the production However, also have that high level of visibility for studio across our productions.
Sure. I've got questions, but Angel, go ahead.
Sure. So at Warner Brothers, we use a lot of best-in-breed SaaS applications on set and production. And one of our big projects right now is to build a digital asset management system that will work with our on-set dams that will feed data during production, which is something we don't have happening now, into a system that can be accessed by downstream partners. So that'll handle things like digital rights management and asset delivery. So that's been a huge undertaking for us. We're working with all of our SaaS partners to build integrations. We're working across the studio with our studio content partners, and then we're also socializing this with production, which is, I'm sure you imagine, is the hardest part. But a lot of our content creators are on board, so that's been sort of our big push.
So would you consider also, because would you consider it more systems-based? Or because, you know, ultimately, everybody knows production is insanity, right? It's organized,
controlled chaos.
Thank you. Organized chaos, I was going to say the same thing. But there's also a split, because, you know, you have the technical, you kind of have the executive, the studio, and then you have the creatives. So would you feel, and obviously different people touch different things, so it's never a one-size-fits-all, and oh, by the way, you creatives don't touch this because the creatives also have to. Is that something in terms of your goal? Do you look at it? Because mobile obviously is very easy on the user interface to deal with the creative because that's where they are all the time. But when you talk about asset management systems, do you also, how broad is that reach and
Yeah, and I'm curious if I also ask, you know, adoption, right? So you could build great products. One of the things that we're faced with and we spend a lot of time on is we build these great products. Sometimes they're products that are very self-explanatory. They actually replace an existing workflow, so it's easy. The adoption is fairly easy. However, there are others that might be moving away from some legacy workflow that's very challenging. So either way, adoption's always top of mind for us. We'll build great products, self-intuitive, simple, beautiful, and yet we can't just throw it out into the production world and say, hey, go ahead and use it. So we're very careful with our approach to that and how to get that. I'm curious how you
right.
guys approach.
So we're very fortunate in that production has a position called the digital asset manager who sits on set throughout the entirety of production. And they actually curate assets for art department, for VFX. And so they're sort of the hub of production for assets. We tap into their workflows, and by making their workflows easier, they're already getting the data. We're just leveraging the data they're already curating and giving them a more seamless interface for working.
That dam manager is also that, you know, as these digital roles come on and start becoming, you know, we've talked about on security and network security, because every set is its own little network, right? But having that established person, I mean, is that something also that you feel is a benefit? Because it's like, okay, I have somebody that I can identify with, and I can say, I know this person's the conduit to socializing this for people that may not.
They are amazingly useful. I mean, without them, we couldn't really get this process up off the ground by really understanding their workflow, understanding how they... They're the ones talking to the director day in and day out, talking to the art department coordinator, talking to the VFX supervisor. So they really are eyes and ears on the floor of production. So they're a wealth of information, and their workflow is really what enables us to move into this sort of 2.0 system for content workflows.
So it sounds like it's the partnership that you have with them and the relationship, and they trust you and you provide these solutions and they drive those.
Right. And then we also, Warner Brothers has a position for digital assets manager for all of VFX. And so he's the hub for all of our digital asset managers. So we work very closely with our businesses, with VFX and with post-production to across the studio to create the kind of relationships necessary to have this kind of infrastructure in place.
Interesting. Do you feel, I assume also, unless you correct me, that you have a similar relationship with an asset manager on set in your roles
as well?
I think
it's definitely product-based, and as I mentioned, we have these two lanes that we work in, you know, foundational-type solutions, and then also these experimental. And for each of our products that we build, we are actually building products under kind of a membership or ecosystem called Prodigal. And under Prodigal, you know, we kind of know our end goal of where we want to reach for an experience for a production crew, and then choosing what products we build first and next and prioritize is always the challenge. And with each of those products that we build, the more that we have the pieces of the Prodigal ecosystem in place, the more powerful each app becomes. So for example, we build a tool that might need some manual entry of certain metadata. However, when the next application is deployed, that will actually feed the other one. So we're always thinking about the bigger grand architecture and the end
2.0,
goal.
3.0.
Exactly. 4.0, so it's really about that ecosystem that we're creating, we're driving towards. What apps do we choose as a priority on next? Making sure we always keep that experimental lane open, because that's what's going to give us these big 10x improvements. And then with each product that we have, it's unique, right? So who has to get buy-in to use it? So for this mobile app Move that I was mentioning, it really takes the entire production crew to get to buy in to use it and be on board with it. So because of that, it takes a lot more strategy and planning with the adoption plan, with the piloting. We really handhold the production. We make sure that they're comfortable, they understand, they're on board, they understand what the gain is for them. And we get a lot of close partnership with them to make sure we get that product feedback and really get to polished states. Now, other products might be you have a single stakeholder on the production crew that you need their buy-in. You got their buy-in. You partner with them closely. It's a single person. It's a different path, right? Yeah. So to us, each one of our products that we develop requires its own unique approach to not only what we need to build, who we need to get buy-in from, and how do we make that deployment successful. And our goal is really making sure the product reaches a point with each of our productions that we would pilot it on, where it's polished enough and we're confident, and that's when we're able, you know, any production to be able to use it.
Sure. Is Prodigal something that's specific to production, or is it something that you're innovating across everywhere in Netflix?
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of jumping ahead without giving context. So,
And we don't know what Prodigal is.
Yes, exactly. Prodigal is amazing. It's the next best thing. No, Prodigal is our production-facing ecosystem. So if you think about all of the production freelancers that are working on all of our original content, they will get a membership to Prodigal. Prodigal is a list of apps today. Tomorrow it would be a more curated, when I say tomorrow, I wish it was tomorrow, a more curated experience where you log in and you see what's relevant to you based on your role and what production you're working on. Today they get access to various apps based on what's available and what's relevant to their workflows. But again, tomorrow would be more of a curated experience of, hey, you're a director, you're working on Stranger Things, and this is, shooting day two, and these are the scenes that are being shot, and these are the maps, and this is what's relevant to you, right?
Yeah, well, and look, the other thing is you're approaching this as a technology company rather than a content creation company. I mean, ultimately, right? Yeah. And I think, and also knowing Ted from the old days and all that business, right? You're hitting all the right things, but I think it's so important and critical to understand this, because we've traditionally taken an IT-based approach, and we absolutely cater to our directors and our stars, like everybody else. They're our special people, but we try to leverage, right, based on what technologies we have, what we're trying to implement, and while we try to implement, maybe, and I'm not speaking for all studios, not just for Warner, but ultimately, I think our goal is to become more technology enabled, because this is the hand in hand marriage, and how we kind of get technology plus great content equals scale, reach, global, mass, more pie, basically.
Yeah. No, for sure. I feel like, even though, sure, we're a Silicon Valley-based company, our roots are in engineering, we also are building a studio, and that talent relations are very important to us and top of mind. So when we're building these solutions, as much as I come from the engineering side, my team believes in cross-pollination. So, and as I mentioned, we report up to physical production, but we're building technology and products, so we really believe it's a part of production, not just a bolt-on. As much as we're driven by really taking cutting-edge technology to make it options for solutions, we're still very much building for talent, right? We want to make sure, we don't build these products and say, hey, you have to use them. We're building these products that bring an immense amount of value to the production and in turn allow for really strong, healthy collaboration and communication amongst the production, and in turn give us the visibility that allows us to not be so hands-on between studio and bridge that kind of partnership and that gap.
So it's interesting that you sort of bring that up and how you work with your talent and how you socialize products. One of the things that we do is we have technology orientation meetings with the POCs of the UPMs, with all of our stakeholders very early on in the production process. And we socialize them to all of the available apps that they can use on production. We offer them training, we offer them hand-holding, we try to prepare them for using these apps, and we also explain the downstream benefits to ease adoption and bring earlier adoption. And I know that your team, we've discussed this before, we see ourselves as technology ambassadors. We're not here to make people use apps. We're here to bring them things that enable them to work smarter and easier.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely take that approach because we're not dictating. We're providing tools, right? And we want to make sure these tools are a benefit to our productions. And we don't take that approach where we're like, hey, we're asking you to do this because it's the best thing, right? We want to make sure that we're providing things that they're eager enough to try and explore. And we also believe that there's a snowball effect, right? There's a lot of industry standards that when we're introducing something new, it takes a little time to get that kind of momentum. I can't even tell you every time I visit a production set or a production office, there's so many areas that we can help. And I think the challenging thing for our team is we see how much we have to accomplish and what do we prioritize.
Well, I think also what's interesting is you know, it's the classic buyer build mentality, right? Hollywood traditionally has been buy. Right. Let's go to a trusted third-party vendor. We know this company. We know they do this great stuff. They did this awesome piece here, and we think we want to do that. And we're going to go out for RFP, and we're going to do third-party. Whereas, you know, you're intrinsically an engineering company and want to build these products for your team.
Yeah. However, Guy, I wouldn't want to be perceived as the because we have engineers, we build, right? Because we want to be like, yeah, we have awesome products. We definitely always look at buy versus build. We always look what's on the market.
Awesomeness wins.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're not going to build. I mean, we have so much to do, right? If there is a vendor out there that satisfies our needs and is not going to, you know, if it's critical on a path, is not going to go away tomorrow, big enough, right, then we always explore that. However, with what we're accomplishing, the scale, the global reach, the various content types, a lot of solutions out there in this industry tend to be more compartmentalized than we need.
Yes.
So yep. Modular solutions are key. So our products, for example, in the Prodigal ecosystem, we create the modular in themselves. We've just talked about, and we're always talking about, some of them being open source eventually. So they serve their own purpose, but they fit into a greater ecosystem to provide more value. So that's our biggest challenge, is finding those. We also approach a lot of things with a hybrid model. So we lean in heavy into Google and utilizing the Google platform, yep, and ecosystem, and yep, build on top of that.
Interesting. And, you know, in terms of, like, the asset management, because Warner, I assume, takes a similar approach and looks at these things and says, okay, what's the best fit for us? And obviously you have executive buy-in and all that business. You're more an, yep, implementer, right? I mean, do you see more of the – because I tend to think that we're moving more towards a modular system where everybody's kind of waking up and realizing 10 years after the IT revolution in Hollywood that, hey – not everybody's going to want to be all in on my thing. They only may want a piece of it. And it also speaks to development, where we're not building things that are meant to last for 10, 15, 100 years. We're sunsetting things and knowing when we build it, in 5 years, 75% of this is absolutely obsolete, and we're expecting that. I mean, is this something, Warner, that you run across? And obviously being in the meetings and being the implementer? Good Lord.
Oh, no.
Wow, that would have been... That would have been monumental. Sorry. Okay. And I don't mean to distract from the conversation. Let's get back on track. Good Lord.
Sure. So
I'm going to stand at the podium. Thank you.
Our focus has been not necessarily on building new apps and products. We've looked a lot at integrations. So there are specific products that are well known throughout the industry. And so we make those products a part of our suite. Because our client base go from studio to studio and they're socialized on certain technology, we want to make sure that the things that we're bringing to them are also somewhat familiar. And then we're building the necessary integrations into our core systems. So that's more of our focus.
But also, from a third-party perspective, a lot of your productions are third-party productions as well, right?
I mean,
and I don't know about the structure internally at Netflix. Are they mostly in-house, or is it a combination? But that's the other major factor to consider here, because you're partnering with this company that you expect make great content that you're involved in, but it's not really your responsibility.
Well,
where does the data?
We perceive them as startups. So they're companies that come, they form, they create a movie, and then they disappear. So we also use that as a way, in the same way that Amy mentioned, we try to pilot new technology on every single feature. We try to bring something new to the table each and every time, along with our tried and true applications. But they're just a moment in time. And so that's something that we always consider. We want to create an ecosystem that's usable for all these tiny little startups.
Fascinating.
Yes. No, and I agree, Guy. Depending on, there's so many variables that go into how much we push our technology versus not, right? So if
sure.
it's a partner managed, for example, we're more hands-off. It's more of, hey, you're welcome to use these. Here's some tools available to you. And if they help you and they help us, fantastic. Incentives align. And then there are, owned, which we manage more closely. But we still, again, do never dictate these are going to be used. We do feel like there'll be a day, and our approach always tends to be focusing on products that sell themselves, right? But we still need to get that initial adoption, but they should. We don't want to ever be at a point where we're forcing somebody to use something that we don't feel like is really providing much value.
Well, it's interesting also because you bring mobile into that, right? And there's no manual for Angry Birds or, 9.9 out of 10 games on your phone. You open up the app and you okay. Next thing you know, you're playing and you're like, oh, wow, okay. And either you love it, you hate it, right? Or you get addicted, get off, delete it. But, ultimately, that's the other revolution that I see coming where it's like we don't have to sit down and do 2 days of training to ensure that, it's like – maybe data, dirty data training, right? So don't, shit in, shit out, pardon the expression, right? You want good data coming in, right? So you have to train them on your nomenclature and all that business. But the reality is this should just be a part of what they do. And I think that's the software innovation that is the next great leap, because we're obviously cloud and SaaS and PaaS is critical.
And we're also looking towards more AI within our data, so especially around metadata. We want our content to be immediately recognized through a system. So, and we don't want somebody spelling Batmobile 10 different ways. Like, we want to have a standard for that. And trust me, that happens. It's not a hard pair of words, but people spell them a variety of ways. So, we're also looking to things like AI to transform how we work and to take some of that really boring kind of filling out template forms work and leaving that to AI.
Yeah, absolutely, and more scraping.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think a lot of the data can be only used when it's in a structured fashion, but instead of just relying on end users to really enter it in a tedious way, we can tap into a lot of data intelligence. And
And digital natives won't have anything to do with any of that, and it'll all be lowercase. And, simple things where you're like, yeah.
But we don't need to rely on the end user anymore, which
right.
is nice.
Right.
We can
and that's also where AI and machine learning and having that piece of it is so critical. All right, so this is, first of all, awesome. From a concept, right, we started this, Matt Turner. I know you're out here, Matt Turner. Matt Turner and I started this smart content vertical and through a discussion at a bar in New York. And ultimately, it was about that idea of inception to infinity. Mary Yerkovitz said it in the intro, right? And I often use the, all right, we cast it, we're using the sticky notes on the whiteboard, and we make all these crazy diagrams. But then when it's done, it all goes into a box, and it goes into the Indiana Jones Archive of Doom someplace in a, Steel Mountain in Pennsylvania. But the reality is this is the beginning of the data stream. And it's not even, it's inception, not even, you know, not even green light, because the green light is already a phase beyond where you've got the concept and you've got the idea. I mean, is this something that, because we used to sit here and say, production metadata, oh, we'll go back when it's done and recreate it. But that's not the concept here. So, and it's important, that's why I wanted to clarify that. Because when you say metadata related to the production, there's seven different types of metadata about a production.
Right, and it starts very early on. Concept art, we had an occasion where the director scrawled a drawing on a napkin, and somebody took a photo of that. And then it ended up on a server and ended up in an art book 3 years later. So you never know what data is going to be useful data. So we sort of curate and store literally everything. And then for us, if it's DC related, everything.
It's even more insane.
Literally everything.
And I'm sure you have experience also in that.
For the whole content creation pipeline, we have a unique identifier that tracks, you know, literally all of the assets, metadata throughout the whole course from pitch to play. You could kind of view it as I mentioned, we're creating this ecosystem, right? We can only build one piece at a time. So we're very strategic on building pieces that really help us with what we need, like the fires, right? What we need today to keep our operations rolling. However, you could think about it like a pipeline. We want to build this really great cast iron pipeline, and we're just kind of choosing, like right now, it's like, you know, we're flowing content through it. There might be some leaks here and there, and we try to patch what we can, but we want to always work towards that end goal and make sure that we have that tie and that proper architecture behind to be able to centralize everything. Things shouldn't be repeated, and that's one of the reasons why we're really investing so much in production-facing products is because we believe in that crowdsourcing approach, right? So there's studio data, there's stuff that comes from studio that generates, but we also want to tap into all of this these production crew that are entering things that don't need to be re-entered at the studio level.
Agreed. And then also from a franchise perspective, so much of this data can be reused. So right now we're in production on Wonder Woman 2. We just pulled all the assets from Wonder Woman 1 to help get them started. So they're not having to remake all of the same assets. They can actually utilize assets that were created during the first production. So as you have more and more franchise development, these types of systems are invaluable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We only have a couple more minutes, and you were gracious enough to say if somebody does have a question. So if there is a question out in the crowd, please ask it now. But ultimately, before we head to that, right? No questions? And think about it. Where do you feel it's going? This is so open-ended and so wacky because it's almost like you need, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years beyond, right? Because I think anybody who talks about 10 years is full of it, right? Because we don't really know where it's gonna go. So let's just say 5 years.
I actually think if you look at technology, from the 90s till now, it's been a little bit of a more recently exponentially, but more linear increase. And so technology builds on itself and becomes more and more powerful. So we're kind of in this exponential era of technology. And because more solutions are being delivered as microservices or modular approach, you can plug things in and make things powerful very quickly. So I really do see 5 years being huge leaps and bounds. I see in this industry in particular, I see it being really making sure we get the adoption and the usage and the normalcy around this kind of new approach. However, I think if more studios are working towards this, the mindset of our production crew would be to try and be curious. And even just the last 2 years working in this space or 3 years, it kind of went from, oh, you're Netflix, so you're going to ask for different things, and then to being more like, what do you have? What do you guys,
Right.
So the curiosity's changed, and I think with that, we're going to see a lot of change in the next 5 years. And I don't see it completely changing how a production's made. The creatives will continue to be creative. The content creation will continue to be as it is. However, I really do see that these solutions and this technology and these products that we're building are going to enable our talent to do the stuff that they care about and not the administrative operational.
Yes.
So I think we're going to be in a very different place in 5 years.
It really is liberation, right? That's really, it's like we do it at the front end and then we're liberated. We don't have to deal with all that
slog. You don't have to deal with that administrative, spend time on the creative process.
Yep. And if production can spend less time on administrative stuff and less time on technology, that's more time they can spend on creative, which is what they always want. More shots.
More
leave
shots.
The camera on.
And any 5-year wish list for you? It doesn't have to be Warner. It can just be kind of. Do you see something that's on the horizon that might really impact how we all do business?
I agree with Amy. I think microservices are key, and I think all these little integrations of various best-in-breed products are going to bring together a much more cohesive technological ecosystem, more so than we've seen now. And we're going to start to see more and more people adopting. Like, for example, we got a Clint Eastwood film onto Box. We got technology onto a Clint Eastwood film. That was magical for us. So we're going to...
Thank you for pioneering that. No, but I think if all studios are working towards this and really, I think it's become more normal. So right. It's not going to be such a sell. It's going to be more of an interest.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And I'm the collaboration preacher, right? And ultimately, I think it's going to be, once we implement more of these systems, and say in 5 years or in 10 years, I think the collaboration on the digital back end will be much more increased because it doesn't have the friction of humans and politics and process and job protection, right. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, oh, no, this is the data that goes over here because it feeds this other collective thing. And right. That's important for us to serve all these different markets.
Sort of our divisional model is to create frictionless content, and so that's what we're always striving for.
I love it. I knew it. We're out of time. We're already
a minute
over. No questions? Not one question? These two bros. Eric Hansen, all right, come on here. I'll just give you the mic right here.
Thank you. Well, you're begging for a question, guy.
I was begging.
Here's my question. You, I think, mentioned freelancers, and I'm interested in whether or not you're seeing now or you expect to be seeing freelance creatives, VFX artists working outside of a traditional studio environment and maybe more in like a WeWork facility or even from their own home or something like that on a production, leveraging the cloud or some kind of a network in that kind of way.
We actually already see that. We have freelance VFX, freelance artists, freelance pre-viz artists, not always working within the studio infrastructure. So by using cloud applications, we allow them to collaborate in real time with us, no matter where they are. And I actually worked on a film where we had 30 people in the art department, and they were scattered in 16 different countries. So it's already happening.
That's awesome. And I know you all are doing it as well. On such diverse, it's not even in VFX and post. I mean, it's across your supply chain, localization, things like that.
That's one of, I think there's so many benefits of the kind of work that we're pioneering here. And that's one of the byproducts is you enable that. But you can't even really look at the scope. You kind of go forward and you know that you're enabling that type of environment and that kind of evolution.
Yep. Absolutely. Cool. And the final thing is, it's all production. It's all production. Until it's finished, it's all production. So thank you so much, ladies. You were amazing. You're both so smart, so talented.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving your time to this wonderful crowd. Awesome.